We worked well as a team, and I'm sure we'll do so again.
But,
Kiadi Mundi began, must I remind the Council of its own actions a second time? Voss said. You pardoned her, remember?
For a moment, Ventress was certain that they were about to have her forcibly ejected from the Situation Room.
Then Master Yoda spoke up.
Pardon her, we did,
Yoda agreed.
Trust her, we do.
To her surprise, Ventress felt a flush of... was it shame? Under his kind gaze. She did not like this, any of it. And the sooner she and Voss were well away from here, the easier she would be.
It's settled then,
Kenobi said, before anyone else could utter another protest.
This is the most up-to-date information we have on Separatist activity.
He activated a button on the holotable's side, and images of several different worlds appeared. Ventress walked slowly around the table, examining the holographic worlds, quickly analyzing and dismissing options. She did not miss the questioning look that Kenobi threw Voss, nor Quinlan's calm nod of reassurance. She paused in front of one of the translucent blue orbs.
Here, she said. Christophsis.
She touched the hologram and it zoomed in on a city, not small, but not obviously key either.
Grievous will be here.
This battle?
Windu asked.
It's so irrelevant.
Ventress smiled thinly at him.
Not to Dooku. He has his own vendettas. And Grievous's boss will be...
She zoomed in further, then drew her hand upward. The view changed from looking down at the city to up at the skies above it. She expanded outward again, then yet again, and pointed a slender finger triumphantly at a Separatist dreadnought.
Right here,
she purred.
You're certain?
Kenobi asked dubiously. Ventress narrowed her eyes.
Why, after everything that Dooku has done to me, would I possibly lie to you about this?
A point, Ventress has,
Yoda commented.
To Voss, he said,
full circle you will have come when complete this task is. May the Force be with you.
Voss bowed, then turned to leave. As she followed him, Ventress muttered under her breath,
Yeah. You did great,
Voss said to her as they approached the Banshee. It was sitting in the middle of a row of Jedi vessels. Ventress thought it was an accurate reflection of her own recent position.
You weren't so bad yourself,
Ventress said.
No wonder it took me a little while to catch you out. You're good at this.
We're good at this. We.
He grinned at her. She smiled back, and for a moment it was just like old times. Then Ventress stiffened. Voss caught it at once.
What is it?
He asked. She paused and looked around the landing platform.
Are you sure this is a solo mission? They seemed kind of jumpy in there. I wonder if we're being followed.
Actually, Voss said, I'm counting on it.
Ventress eyed him narrowly.
What sort of game are you playing, Voss?
No game, I assure you, he said.
Well, perhaps gambling.
But it's a risk I have to take.
I don't like this,
she warned him.
I know, and I promise you, everything will soon become clear.
There was a handsome idiot who told me once that for a team to work, there has to be trust.
Pain showed in his brown eyes. Voss placed his hands on her shoulders.
Hey, he said. Sometimes secrets have to be kept for a little while. That doesn't mean you can't trust me.
Not from me, Quinlan,
Ventress said.
You shouldn't keep secrets from me.
I could say something really cruel right now about Master Tholme, but I'm not going to. You could say something cruel right back, or,
Voss said, lifting her chin with his forefinger,
you can trust me, or at least trust in what I feel for you.
Ventress still felt uneasy, but she nodded. That was one thing she was sure of. It would have to be enough.
Come on, she said. Let's go kill a count.
Chapter 36.
The Banshee came out of hyperspace near Christophsis.
Wow,
Boss said, peering out at the fleet of battleships in the distance.
I don't even know what this vendetta is about, do you?
Don't know,
Ventress said dryly.
Don't care.
She touched the controls.
Well, well. It pays to arrive when a battle is in progress. The doors are open, and all hangar shields are deactivated, so the ships can get in and out as needed.
Asajj,
Voss said quietly. Ventress froze at the tone in his voice and looked up at him.
Don't you dare,
she said, her own voice a warning.
There's no way we can hide this ship in the hangar. And this is my battle. You yourself said you didn't need to see Dooku dead. I still have to. I want to do it for me, and I want to do it because I know what good it will do the galaxy.
You want me to just hang around and drive the getaway speeder? Is that it?
Voss knelt beside her chair.
I want you to be safe,
he said, taking her hand.
And wait for me, because I am coming back to you when this job is done. I promise.
Ventress's eyes searched his. Then she reached out, grabbed the front of his robe, and pulled him toward her, bending her head to kiss him. He returned the kiss eagerly, almost desperately, one hand cupping the back of her head, the other around her shoulders. Then Ventress released him.
You better, she said. Because if you don't, I'm coming in after you. That's my promise.
Deal,
he said, and rose. She watched him make his way to the back of the ship and take position beside the door. And then she turned to the controls. Gently, she moved the cloaked ship beside Dooku's massive dreadnought, taking it slowly and carefully toward the open hangar doors. Voss was right. A single person might be able to slip in unnoticed, but her ship would not.
Opening the doors,
she called, and suited action to word.
Almost. Almost,
Voss said.
Just a little closer.
Ventress dropped deep into herself, using her awareness of her surroundings and the Force to bring the door close enough for Voss to leap to safety, but not so close that she would slam into the hangar. She closed her eyes, moving her fingers on the controls, then opened them. She was there. Ventress turned to look at him.
Now!
She cried. Their eyes met. Voss gave her a confident grin and leapt. The shuttle had been Anakin's idea. Naturally. They had brought a commandeered Separatist shuttle aboard the Vigilance, complete with two defunct battle droids Anakin had reprogrammed to be operated remotely. Hidden behind the two droid pilots, seated in the cockpit, Kenobi and Anakin were pressed tightly together in the cramped space.
Anakin,
Kenobi said, maneuvering the handheld controls.
This plan, like most of your plans, is completely insane.
Try not to be a downer. Just for once. For me.
Anakin spoke into a jury-rigged comlink, and his voice now issued through the droid's metallic mouth. He shot Obi-Wan a triumphant look.
You're going too fast. They're going to know something's wrong,
Kenobi warned. Unlike Anakin, he chose not to speak through the makeshift comm. Anakin's droid hit Obi-Wan's in the arm with a touch too much enjoyment.
Lighten up, will you? Okay, our intel shows that Ventress and Voss have split up, and Voss is inside that cruiser. That must be where Dooku is.
And clearly you just plan on waltzing in.
Roger, roger,
Anakin said and grinned. The reprogrammed droids continued to be useful even after the trick enabled the Jedi to, as Obi-Wan had said, waltz in. Now on foot and following a good distance behind the clankers, Anakin and Kenobi sent them up ahead into corridors, seeing what the droids saw.
At one point, Kenobi said, "We need to find out where Dooku is. I'd say on the bridge."
"Hold that thought,"
Anakin said.
He marched his droid up a corridor toward a group of blaster-holding battle droids.
"Anakin!"
"Shh," Anakin said. His fingers tapped the controls, and his droid pointed to its own throat.
"My vocabulator is broken."
"Wow, you sound terrible. Better get that repaired,"
one of the other battle droids said.
"Roger, I have information for Count Dooku. Where is he located?"
the Anakin droid asked.
"He's on the bridge, but he's heading to the observation room now. I'd change your voice first, though,"
the other one advised.
"Roger, roger,"
Anakin's droid said, and marched on.
Kenobi turned and said with reluctant admiration,
"Well done, Anakin."
"Roger, no,"
Kenobi interrupted.
"Let's get to the observation deck before Dooku does."
They continued to utilize their droids for recon, finally parking them in an out-of-the-way corner. The droids would be discovered at some point, but the Jedi hoped to have their business concluded by then and be on their way back to Coruscant, one way or another. Even taking an indirect route, they did arrive before the ship's master, though with only a few moments to spare. They glanced around, chagrined.
"Why does Dooku have to be so tidy?"
Anakin muttered. There was only one place to hide, and it was painfully obvious, beneath the large, curving desk off to one side.
"Cluttered room, cluttered mind," murmured Kenobi absently.
"Well, at least it's not a difficult choice. We can both fit under there if we try, but we'd better hurry."
Kenobi was right on both counts. He and Anakin had just settled themselves into a position where, if they were careful, they could peer around the edge of the desk when the door slid open. Count Dooku entered alone, and for a moment, Kenobi thought he had sensed them. The Count paused, frowning, his gaze moving about the room. Both Kenobi and Anakin ducked back, gripping their lightsaber hilts. Dooku was actually walking toward the desk when the door opened again. Standing in the doorway, flanked by a group of battle droids, was Quinlan Vos, but one who looked nothing like the cheerful Jedi whom Kenobi had known for years. This man looked cold, arrogant, evil. Beside Kenobi, Anakin made a soft, angry sound and started to rise. Obi-Wan laid a hand on his arm and mouthed the word, "Wait!"
"We brought him here, sir, just like you asked,"
one of the battle droids said.
"Vos," Dooku said, "were you successful?"
"I'm here, aren't I?"
Vos answered. His voice was as icy as his expression. Dooku chuckled, looking the other man up and down appraisingly.
"You seem unburdened. I sense a greater strength in you."
"I agree," Vos said. "I am calmer, more focused, stronger than before."
In the blink of an eye, he seized and activated his lightsaber. Its green glow bathed his face as he smiled.
"Strong enough to kill you."
This time, looking relieved, Anakin moved to get up. Again, Kenobi held him back.
"Let this play out,"
he whispered.
"We must be absolutely certain."
Dooku's own lightsaber was activated now, and the two men regarded each other. Dooku sighed.
"Must we do this yet again? This time I shall make certain to swat this pesky fly."
The Count went from standing perfectly still to a blur. But Vos was faster. He leapt up and over Dooku, just in time to prevent the red blade from severing his legs. Dooku whirled as Vos's blade slashed down and caught it on his own. Vos kicked out in a long swipe, angling his body to force his enemy's blade down. Dooku let himself fall, seizing Vos in the force and hurling him across the room.
The Count extended his arm, and force lightning leapt from his hand. But Voss wasn't there. He stretched out his own hand, and Dooku's lightsaber flew into his open palm. Voss smiled, a cruel, satisfied smile. Dooku appeared unrattled, blasting another round of force lightning. While Voss crossed both green and red lightsabers in front of him in a protective X, Dooku made a pulling motion with his other hand, and Voss was flipped backward. The red lightsaber returned to its owner, and the fight continued. Both Jedi watching were prepared to act if need be. Indeed, Anakin was more than eager to do so. The truth be told, Voss seemed to be holding his own against Dooku. He leapt, sprang, ducked, and tumbled. Dooku might have been a master of technique, but Voss's characteristic unpredictability, quite possibly even to himself, often gave him the edge. As it did now, Voss all but danced around Dooku, forcing the older man to whirl, strike, and block from every side. And then, there it was. Dooku overextended. Only a trifle. And the next thing Kenobi knew, the Count's lightsaber was across the room, and the Count himself was on his back. Voss smiled down at the defeated Sith. The tip of his lightsaber was a centimeter away from Dooku's throat. Even now, Kenobi waited. Why wasn't Voss taking the final step? Dooku, defiant to the last, spoke up.
"What can you possibly think you'd gain from my death?"
he sneered.
"A sense of satisfaction? A badge of honor?"
Voss leaned closer, his gaze locked with Dooku's. "A new master," he said.
"What's he doing?"
Anakin hissed. Dooku, too, seemed startled.
"Impossible,"
he snapped. Voss calmly grabbed Dooku by the hair and slammed his head violently against the floor.
"Is it?" he asked. "After all your betrayals, your mistakes, you think your lord would be so quick to deny me?"
"Sidious will kill you as soon as he lays eyes upon you. Do you think he accepts just anyone as an apprentice? A mediocre Jedi, no less?"
"Mediocre? Who's got the lightsaber?"
Again, Voss slammed Dooku's head against the unyielding metal of the deck, this time with his hand around the older man's throat. Voss's fingers tightened.
"You need an introduction,"
Dooku choked out.
"Obi-Wan,"
Anakin said in a low, urgent voice. Kenobi held up a hand. He sensed there was more to learn before they intervened. Perhaps even the identity of this second Sith Lord.
"You're lying," said Voss.
But Kenobi noticed that he had relaxed his grip so that Dooku could speak more easily.
"Am I? Go then. Find him. See what happens. Or you could join with me again. We will defeat Sidious together."
"I won't be your apprentice."
Voss started to choke Dooku again.
"No! No!"
Dooku wheezed.
"A team! Equals!"
"Sith don't work that way."
"Are you and I ordinary Sith?"
Voss still looked skeptical.
"You know where he is? And do not lie to me."
"Of course I know. I'm the only one he trusts."
There was a long, tense minute. Kenobi hoped desperately that Voss wouldn't take that final step. That one that would doom him.
"Don't let him go, old friend."
Voss released Dooku. "And let's go find..." As one, Anakin and Obi-Wan sprang from their place of concealment. Dooku leapt up, hissing.
"Jedi!"
Obi-Wan was too devastated to speak. He lunged for Dooku, kicking the Count's legs out from underneath him, then thrust out his hand. Dooku's lightsaber flew toward him from the corner of the room where it had rolled. Obi-Wan ignited it and placed the tip a hair's breadth away from Dooku's chest. Anakin had targeted Voss, headbutting him and snatching up Voss's lightsaber. He stood over Voss, pain and anger warring on his face as he spoke. I am happy to say that this little unholy alliance you two have formed is officially over! Count Dooku, Quinlan Vos, Kenobi said, surprised at how strong and steady his voice sounded. You are both under arrest, on charges of treason! Obi-Wan, Vos began, staring with a shocked expression at his old friend. You had your chance, Kenobi snapped. More than one! Come on.
Chapter 37.
The darkness of the Vigilance's war room suited the somberness of the news. The only light came from the multicolored small screens on the various black consoles, and from the cool blue of Master Kenobi's grim-visaged hologram. Beside the Moran, Cav Bayons, a Shagrian Jedi Knight, stood in shock, his mouth slightly open. Even Commander Cody looked stunned.
There must be some mistake, Desh stammered.
I wish there were, Kenobi said.
He looked old and sadder than Desh had ever seen him.
The only good news is, we now also have Count Dooku in custody. General Skywalker and I will be rendezvousing with you shortly with the prisoners.
Kenobi hesitated.
Bayons, Desh, you should know that my orders from the Council originally stipulated execution. It may yet come to that, and we may be the ones asked to perform it.
Execution? Both of them? This can't possibly be happening.
Both of them, Kenobi repeated heavily. I'll be checking in with the Council immediately upon my arrival, and I hope they will be open to reconsidering the sentence. I wanted you both to understand the full import of this situation. Please meet us in the hangar, and bring enough men to properly provide escort for the prisoners to the brig.
Yes, Master Kenobi,
Desh said automatically. Kenobi's image flickered and disappeared. Desh stood for a moment, dazed.
Cody looked at him with a mixture of pity, compassion, and resolve.
Bayons had a sympathetic look on his light blue face. Tall, younger than Desh, he had distinguished himself in battle, but the Morans suspected this was the Shagrian's first encounter with the true power of the dark side. Truth be told, it was Desh's too, and it was more devastating than he ever could have imagined.
Desh, I'm so sorry, Bayons said. I know you and Master Vos were friends.
Yes, I've known Quinlan for most of my life. I can't believe it.
It's always a shocker when one of your own betrays you,
Cody said.
We clones had a similar situation a couple years back. One of our men, Slick, turned against us. He was working with the enemy. Said he loved his brothers, but he was selling information to Ventress and sabotaging our supplies. Doing things that could end up getting a lot of those brothers killed. Funny way of showing love, if you ask me.
He shook his head.
I hope you'll forgive me for saying this, sir, but I'd almost rather have my mate seduced by the dark side than be a simple turncoat.
No forgiveness needed, Desh said. But either way, it's a tragedy.
He squared his narrow shoulders and gathered himself. They had a job to do.
Commander, he said, how many men should we bring to the hangar?
Cody chuckled humorlessly.
For Count Dooku and Quinlan Vos? 200 ought to do it.
It was considerably fewer than 200, but a full 24 armed clones, hand-picked by Cody, assembled in the Vigilance's cavernous hangar to await the arrival of the infamous prisoners. Even with advance warning, Desh wasn't prepared to see his old friend being marched out of the Jedi shuttle in stun cuffs alongside the infamous Count Dooku. General Skywalker looked as if he wished he could lop off Vos's head then and there. Master Kenobi also wore a grim, angry look, but there was pain there too. Desh reached into the Force and calmed himself. He could see it now, he realized. The flat, cold expression in Boss's eyes. The cruel set of his mouth. So much like Dooku's. Doubtless feeling his gaze, Boss turned to regard his old friend Desh. There was no flicker of remorse or pleading, or anything other than cold hate on those familiar features. Desh swallowed hard. This was going to be the most difficult thing he'd ever done.
Sir,
said Cody,
we've brought 24 of our finest men to serve as escort, and I've stationed clones every couple of meters between here and the brig.
Skywalker was practically shoving Boss toward Desh, as Kenobi said,
Good job, Commander.
The Jedi Master transferred Dooku to Bayon's with more decorum, though no less distaste. Desh noticed that Kenobi seemed unable to bring himself even to look at Voss.
These two have a tendency to slip away.
Not on my watch, sir.
Let's go tell the Council, Anakin,
Kenobi said, with a final glare at both Dooku and Voss. Skywalker turned and followed Kenobi. And then Desh was face to face with Voss. He found himself baring his sharp white teeth in a silent snarl. Wordlessly, he nodded to the clones. Four of them, including Cody, who made straight for Dooku, stepped up to grasp the prisoner's arms and march the captives to the hold.
Desh, you're making a mistake, Voss said.
You already made one!
Desh snapped. The hackles on his neck rose, and his nostrils flared as he drew breath to calm himself.
And now you might have to die for it.
He knew he shouldn't say anything more. He should be calm, remind himself of the Jedi Code, remain non-attached. It simply wasn't possible.
What the hell were you thinking, Voss?
Desh's voice cracked slightly.
Why did you do this?
His reasons are his own,
Dooku said smoothly.
You be quiet,
Bayon snapped. The group continued in silence. The four clones flanking the prisoners kept a tight hold on manacled arms. A dozen clones walked in front of them. The Jedi followed behind, and the rest of the clones brought up the rear. Somewhat to Desh's surprise, neither Voss nor Dooku offered resistance. Abruptly, Voss stopped and turned to Desh.
You want to know why I did it?
He asked, and Desh couldn't read his expression.
Don't bother pleading,
said the clone on Voss's right, yanking his arm.
Sir,
warned Cody.
Do not listen to him.
Desh held up a hand.
No, wait. It's all right, Commander. I want to hear this.
He stepped directly in front of Voss and folded his arms, his ears flat against his head.
Go ahead.
Jedi don't understand, Voss said, his voice dripping contempt. You can't grasp the full power of the dark side. You're too afraid to wield it. You're not prepared to make the sacrifices necessary. You're weak, Desh. Weak and pathetic. And I'm...
Desh's lightsaber flew into Voss's hands.
Sorry,
Voss finished, violently force-shoving the shocked Jedi into the clones behind him. They went flying. Desh sprang to his feet just in time to see Voss slice through Dooku's bonds. The Count emulated his ally, seizing Bayon's lightsaber. In rapid succession, Dooku cut down one clone escort, forced through Cody down the corridor and against the bulkhead, freed Voss, then blasted everyone in front of him, including Bayon's with force lightning. The Shagrian and the four clones went down, writhing in agony. Holding Desh's blue lightsaber, Voss charged at him. Their eyes met. Desh growled and started toward his old friend. But just as he reached out to grab Voss and the Force, the former Jedi Master soared over the heads of both the Moran and the clones and continued running down the hall back toward the hangar. Dooku followed him. Desh glanced over his shoulder. All but one of the clones lay at such unnatural angles that it was clear they would never rise again. Cody seemed to be injured, but alive. Bayon's was a little dazed, but he quickly shook his head and joined Desh in giving chase. The few clones still on their feet were firing at the escaped prisoners. Voss whirled,
batting back the blasts and shouting to Dooku, "Take them out!"
"With pleasure,"
Dooku purred. He paused, shot both hands out in front of him, and raised his clenched fists. The clones were lifted in the force, dropping their blasters as their hands went to their necks to pry off invisible hands. Desh heard an awful crunch, and they both went limp. Sneering, Dooku hurled the corpses directly at Bayonz and Desh. The two Jedi dodged and kept coming. There was only one thought in Desh's mind as he summoned the Force to him and used it to leap at a man he had considered a great friend. Stop, Voss. It was clear to Desh now that the only way to do that was to kill him. To kill him and to die with him. The Moran snapped his right wrist as he sprang, splaying his hand. A 6-centimeter shard of bone, slick with black venom, emerged directly below his palm. The action of exposing the stinger released its toxin into Desh's bloodstream. It was not painful, not yet. Just as his leap was about to bring him crashing down atop Voss, the Sith apprentice, for such Desh now knew him to be, shot out a hand. Desh was suddenly whipped around. To his horror, Voss had hurled him straight at Bayonz. Desperately, Desh tried to twist to the side, to angle his stinger away from his fellow Jedi. But it was too late. The lethal tip grazed the Shagrian's blue face, drawing a thin line of blood. The surrounding flesh began to swell immediately. Bayonz's eyes went wide as he stared, shocked at Desh. He lurched to the side, catching himself on the wall. Venom pumped more freely now throughout Desh's body. He lay where he had fallen, shaking with agony, as his blood turned to liquid fire, scalding him with every beat of his heart. He bit back a howl, and froth dripped from his muzzle. His vision was starting to deteriorate. In a few moments, he would be completely blind. But for now, he could dimly make out the figure standing over him. Voss knew about the Moran birthright, and he knew that death, while inevitable, could sometimes take as long as 10 minutes, and would be an excruciating torment. So it was that when Voss lifted Desh's own lightsaber and brought it sweeping down, Desh was unsure if Voss meant the death blow as a cruelty or a kindness. Kenobi took a deep breath. There was no point in putting this off any longer. He pressed a button on the holographic table in the war room, and an image of the Jedi Council appeared. He looked to Yoda first, who regarded him solemnly.
"Fallen, Voss has."
It was a statement, not a question.
"Yes, Master Yoda," Kenobi replied. Even to his own ears, his voice sounded disheartened. "We have taken both Voss and Dooku into custody." He gave them a brief summary of events.
"I am truly sorry things worked out this way, Master Kenobi,"
Windu said.
"But I think we can all agree that this matter has been resolved. Quinlan Voss has signed his own death warrant."
The entire council looked dismayed, even Windu. There was no doubt in Kenobi's mind that the other master would have preferred to be wrong. Yoda nodded sadly.
"Signed it, he has."
"We can take care of the matter here, if you wish. Bloodless words for a bloody deed," Kenobi thought as he spoke them.
Yoda shook his head.
"Anticipate a capture of both, we did not. To the temple, you will bring them. If information from them we obtain, saved lives can be. But in the end, executions must we have."
"Yes, Master Yoda." Kenobi pressed a button, and the hologram disappeared. He placed both hands on the table and bowed his head for a moment.
"Hey," said Anakin, "this isn't your fault."
Kenobi gave him a humorless chuckle. "Isn't it? I'm the one who suggested him for the mission in the first place."
You couldn't possibly have known...
General Kenobi! General Skywalker!
Cody's voice issuing from Kenobi's comlink was frantic.
They've escaped. Looks like my men are all dead. They got Desh and Beyonds, too. They're heading down the corridor now. Back to the hangar.
Can you give chase? Kenobi asked. As he spoke, he and Anakin had already activated their lightsabers and were heading to the door.
Sorry, sir. That's a negative. My leg's been snapped like a twig.
We'll get you patched up, Cody. Don't you worry, Anakin said, muttering.
No slippery, slimy...
Save your breath, said Kenobi, and run!
Ventress?
Ventress closed her eyes in relief.
Voss, is it done?
I'm sending you the coordinates of our location.
His voice was tense.
Coordinates? Our? Who's with you?
I'll explain later.
You'll explain now.
Now is really not the time.
His voice was rising, and he sounded distracted. Again, the alarm bell sounded in her mind.
Fine. I'm on my way. But I don't like this, Voss.
She entered the coordinates, and her eyes widened.
Voss was on a Jedi cruiser.
For a moment, Ventress hesitated. Something had clearly gone wrong. But Voss wasn't dark. The Jedi needed to know that. Perhaps she should reach out to Kenobi. Even as she had the thought, Ventress dismissed it. No. Better to rescue Voss and disappear immediately. Let the Jedi think what they would. Their opinion would no longer matter. Ventress brought her ship beside the hangar door just as it opened. Activating the door to the Banshee, she heard two thumps as Voss and his unknown companion jumped inside. She hit the controls, slamming the door shut and sped off, entering random coordinates to confound pursuit. Then unbuckled herself and strode back to greet Voss.
I see you're still in one...
Her voice trailed off.
Dooku.
Standing in the hold and peering up at her, the Count seemed almost as shocked as she was. White-hot anger shot through Ventress, and she whirled on Voss.
What have you done?
It's not what you...
Voss began.
It's not what I think. How is this possibly not what I think? Dooku, in the flesh, still alive?
Our escape plans hinged on her?
Dooku exclaimed, almost at the same moment, his lip curling.
The most abysmal assassin of all time?
Voss's face went hard, and he shoved Dooku.
Watch your mouth.
I don't trust her.
Well, I do. And you're free because of me. We had a deal. Understand?
Contempt and resignation flickered over Dooku's patrician face. Then he nodded.
Good. Now strap yourself in. Voss,
Ventress said, barely reining in her anger.
We need to talk. Now!
She jerked her head toward the cockpit. Voss nodded and quickly climbed the ladder. Glancing back at the hold, Ventress whispered,
What the hell is going on?
I will tell you, I promise.
Yes, you will,
Ventress agreed.
Right now!
Right now we've got a Jedi cruiser on our tail. Let's get somewhere safe first, and then I'll tell you everything.
Where is safe?
Christophsis. We'll rendezvous with the Separatist cruiser there that's expecting us. While he was speaking, his gaze wandered to the hold, and his eyes narrowed. Ventress looked at him incredulously for a moment. She searched his face, seeking answers there. He was right. They were fleeing, and Dooku absolutely needed to be watched every minute.
All right, she agreed. But I don't know of anything you can say that can convince me that bringing him along isn't a huge mistake. One that might get us killed.
Chapter 38.
Skywalker and Kenobi stood on the bridge of the Vigilance, which was closing the distance fast.
Obi-Wan,
Anakin said, watching the Banshee head straight for a Separatist dreadnought.
We can't allow them to escape again. We've got to fire on them. and risk killing all on board?
Kenobi shook his head.
No. We must take them back to the temple alive. There's too much they know that we need to find out.
Yes, he thought bitterly. By all means, let's make sure we keep them alive, only to kill them in the end anyway.
Just a graze, I promise, Anakin insisted. It'll damage their ship and they'll be forced to land. It's far better than the alternative of them getting away.
Kenobi stroked his beard, pondering. Ventress's ship was closing the gap.
All right, he said.
Anakin turned to Threepwood, the clone at the weapons station.
Fire when ready. Bring them down. Aye, sir.
They had almost reached the waiting dreadnought. Ventress was all too keenly aware of the Jedi cruiser behind them. She was torn between taking evasive maneuvers and getting the Banshee into the hangar as soon as possible. She reached into the Force.
Hang on!
She cried. Ventress pulled the ship hard to port, but not in time to evade the Jedi's attack. The Banshee rocked violently. Smoke began to fill the cabin as the controls went haywire. Frantically, Ventress tried to keep the Banshee heading toward the open hangar. But like a Rancor set on charging, the ship would no longer obey her. She couldn't make it to the ship, but maybe she could land it on Christophsis. There was no question at this point, but that they were going to crash. The question was, how hard?
Hang on! She shouted. Strap in and brace yourselves! I'm going to try to set us down!
They hurtled through the atmosphere, the unforgiving crystalline ground rushing up as if eager to meet them.
Ventress struggled with the controls, trying desperately to slow the fall, get the nose up.
She let go of the controls and tapped into her fear and anger, commanding the Force. She would not die in a ridiculous crash. There were questions she needed answers to. She poured forth all her will, insisting, demanding that the Banshee slow,
even out, and they slammed into the surface.
Obi-Wan piloted the Jedi shuttle to the crash site and hovered over it. He and Anakin stared at it silently. It had been easy to locate. Ventress had left a trail of sheared-off blue-green crystal in what was obviously a barely controlled approach.
You assured me it would be just a graze, Obi-Wan said.
Sorry, sir, said Threepwood. They veered at the last minute.
Let us hope there are survivors, Kenobi said. Prepare to take on injured.
As he settled the shuttle down on a flat area near the wreckage, Obi-Wan wasn't optimistic. The crash was bad. The clone had been right. Probably using her Force sensitivity, Ventress had indeed made a sudden move at the last minute. What was intended to be a graze had ended up being a solid strike at the ship's stern, and the engines had been damaged.
Christophsis was a bad planet on which to crash, and the Banshee had not landed gently. Bits of debris were strewn everywhere. The two Jedi, lightsabers ignited, and Threepwood, Tracker, and Boyle, the clones who had accompanied them, made a silent circle about the downed vessel. Anakin signaled for the others to stay back as he stepped forward to cut a hole in the ship's door with his lightsaber. Using the Force, he pulled out the circular chunk of metal and placed it down. Smoke billowed out. He stuck his head inside, then turned to look at Kenobi. His face was contorted in anger.
They're not here!
Sir!
Tracker called out to them.
There's blood here! I think they kicked their way out of the forward viewport in the cockpit.
Kenobi looked. There was indeed blood. Quite a lot of it.
Well, he said, someone's been injured. They can't have gone far, then. Start searching the forest!
Anger, Ventress thought sourly, was good for so many things. Right now, it was doing a superb job of keeping her on her feet. Even moving with a fair approximation of speed, although her left knee and shoulder had been gouged by the shattered controls when they slammed into the unforgiving ground. They were heading for a tower where, Dooku assured them, they would find ships waiting to take them off-world to their next destination. She had no idea where that would be, of course. No one was telling her anything. Voss had some bruises, but otherwise appeared to have escaped unscathed. Dooku was the most severely injured of the three. He hadn't been properly strapped down in the ship's hold when the Jedi had fired on the ship, and he was paying the price. He had one arm slung around Voss for support as they made their way through huge, jutting hexagons that comprised what served Christophsis for a forest. As if on cue, she heard that smooth-as-silk voice, tense now with pain, pant,
"I have to stop."
"Ventress, hold up," Voss said. He lowered Dooku to the ground, propping him up against a tall, blue-green natural obelisk. The Count winced and put a hand to his side. Ventress gritted her teeth.
"Of course. The one we came to kill is going to get us all killed."
Shaking her head, she limped up to Voss and shoved him hard.
"You promised me that it would be over!"
Her words made Dooku chuckle, though he winced slightly at the pain.
"Over? My dear Ventress, quite the opposite. It's only begun."
A cold finger of apprehension traced its way along her spine.
"Voss," she said slowly, "what's he talking about? What aren't you telling me?"
Voss jerked his head at Dooku, then took her elbow and attempted to steer her out of hearing range. She wrenched her arm free, but accompanied him.
"I have something better in store for us," Voss said in a low voice. "You have to trust me on this one, Asajj, okay?"
His eyes were pleading.
"This isn't about you," she said. "This plan was about us. Together. Remember?
It is about us. I promise."
"You've been making promises an awful lot in the last hour,"
Ventress said. If he were anyone else, she'd simply strike off on her own at this point.
But where could she go?
She'd help Voss escape, with Count Dooku himself in tow, no less. Somehow she didn't think the Jedi would offer her a pardon a second time. And she could still sense Voss's feelings for her. Whatever this plan was, he really was doing what he thought was best for the two of them. She had to keep trusting him, at least for now. This time when he touched her face hesitantly, mindful of her turning away from him as she had earlier, she sighed and leaned her cheek into his hand.
"If you two lovebirds are done with your nauseating display,"
came the Count's unwelcome voice,
"we should probably keep moving."
Ventress turned to him, not bothering to hide her loathing.
"You were the one who asked us to stop," she reminded him.
At that moment, her comlink began to blink. She looked at it in surprise, then started to thumb it off.
"No," Voss said. "Go over there. Take it."
She nodded. She limped a meter or two away from them, leaned against a chunk of stone, and answered. A hologram of Obi-Wan Kenobi popped up. He lifted his hands pleadingly.
"Ventress, don't disconnect, please. Hear me out."
In a whisper, she said,
"I don't have time for this, Kenobi."
"I'll be brief. Master Yoda has sensed that Voss has turned to the dark side. He has entered into a partnership with Count Dooku. You must convince him to surrender, or we'll be forced to execute him."
She inhaled swiftly.
Execute?
First Dooku, now Voss? She'd never expected this from the Jedi. Then the other words the Jedi had said sank in. No, it wasn't possible. She'd been able to sense the darkness in Voss before, but that was gone. He'd come back from it, as she had. But no matter how much she believed Voss loved her,
He had insisted on bringing Dooku, and he was definitely keeping something from her.
Ventress looked over at the two men. Both were watching her, but neither could hear what she or Kenobi was saying. Keeping her voice low, she whispered,
"You're wrong, Kenobi. He's going to complete his mission. You must give us time."
Ventress clicked it off and took a deep breath. Boss stepped up to her.
"What did he say?"
he asked quietly, not wanting Dooku to overhear. She spoke bluntly.
"Obi-Wan told me you've turned to the dark side. He says they're going to kill us all unless you surrender."
Boss's eyes widened at the word kill, but he shook his head firmly.
"Surrender? Now? No way. Not when we're this close."
"Close to what?"
His expression softened. He cupped her bone-white face in his dark hands.
"Close to the end. Close to being utterly and completely free."
He bent and kissed her tenderly. And Ventress returned his kiss almost desperately, hoping with all that was in her that he was right.
"She's blinded by love," Anakin said, not without sympathy.
Kenobi didn't disagree. All he said was,
"We've got to find them."
His comlink chirped again, and he answered quickly, hoping it was Ventress. Instead, the image of a grim-faced Mace Windu appeared.
"What's your status, Master Kenobi?"
"We were in pursuit of the vessel and brought it down to the surface. Looks like all aboard survived, and unfortunately managed to escape. We're following them now. At least one appears to be injured."
Obi-Wan hesitated.
"We spoke briefly with Ventress, but she said very little. She doesn't believe Voss has turned. She says he is close to completing his mission."
He hated how uncertain his voice sounded. Mace, however, was decidedly not uncertain in his response.
"If he was close, it should have already been completed. The time for action is now. Trying to bring them in alive was clearly a mistake. Find the fugitives and execute them."
A still, small voice inside Obi-Wan Kenobi said,
"This is wrong."
"All of them?"
he asked in disbelief.
"Anyone who gets in your way."
Chapter 39.
Ventress, Voss, and Dooku pressed on. At first, the promised tower appeared to be nothing more than another one of the beautiful, gigantic natural formations that adorned the planet's surface. But as they drew closer, Ventress saw that what once had indeed been nothing more than simply another crystal, albeit a particularly enormous one, had been cunningly hollowed out. It gleamed in the sunlight, but some of that gleam was on windows and weapons. It was indeed a tower, a place where death and deceit were conducted, and Ventress felt a peculiar hot rush of hatred at the violation of something that had once been both extraordinary and innocent. They were close enough so that they walked in the tower's shadow, but before their arrival was detected, Dooku requested another stop.
"What now?"
Ventress demanded.
"I mustn't look weak," he said. "Most of those we encounter will be droids, but there are a few organics among them. Voss, help me."
Ventress folded her arms and watched. She had hoped Dooku would bleed out on the journey. She and Voss could return to the Jedi, having completed the mission. Once things had settled down, then at last, they would leave as they had planned. Unfortunately, Dooku was as determined about this as he was about many things, and he insisted on clinging to life. As Voss assisted him in cutting loose the bloodiest part of his shirt and draping the outer fabric so that it concealed the wound, Ventress bit back a scathing comment.
"Voss, you'd better be right about whatever it is you're planning."
That's better,
Dooku said.
No, thank you.
Ventress couldn't help it. The Count gave her a disdainful look, straightened himself, and strode forward. Ventress had to admit he gave away nothing. He was indeed a master of deceit. Hundreds of droids clustered at the base of the tower, more hexagonal formations hitherto serving as concealment. It was a disconcerting feeling to have so many weapons pointed at one simultaneously.
Hold your fire!
Dooku shouted, striding out of the crystal forest into the open area with his hands raised in a commanding gesture.
It is I, your lord.
Count Dooku!
There was a clatter as every droid lowered its weapon in perfect unison.
There. That's a better way to greet your master. Now take me to the command room.
And them?
One of the droids peered at Dooku's companions. Ventress tensed. Against so many droids, the outcome was certain. But she'd go down fighting. If Dooku was going to betray them, now would be an ideal moment, when they were completely at his mercy.
Yes, they are with me,
Dooku said smoothly. Ventress relaxed, ever so slightly.
Roger that. Right this way, sire.
Ventress's skin crawled at being in the very heart of a Separatist site. She had to stifle the urge to cut every droid she saw in half. By the time whatever this was done, she knew she would be utterly drained. But then she and Voss would be together, and away from all of this. The Jedi, the Separatists, Dooku, everything. And that was worth adrenal depletion now. They followed Dooku into a lift that took them up to one of the top stories and stepped into a large room. Presumably, one-way glass wrapped around the room floor to ceiling, providing a 270-degree view. Even the naked eye could see for kilometers. And listening to the hum and whir of various displays and consoles, Ventress realized that from here, the Separatists could also monitor nearly everything on Christophsis. The planet's unique composition had provided Dooku the ultimate camouflage for a key base. The room had been buzzing with high-pitched droid chatter, which fell silent when Dooku entered. Voss and Ventress hung back slightly. She glanced at Voss, but his gaze was locked on Dooku. Ventress wondered if he was starting to have second thoughts. She hoped so.
Sir!
One of the droids piped up.
Darth Sidious has been trying to contact you. He says it's urgent.
Urgent? Really?
Dooku asked.
I wonder what he could want. Reach out to him immediately.
He eyed Ventress and Voss.
You two will wait here.
The Count turned and stepped into a side door on the right of the lift. Voss immediately slipped in behind him with no glance at Ventress. Furious with both of them, she followed just as the doors were closing. The chamber was dark, the only light coming from a single holotable in its center. Dooku turned, irritated.
I told you to wait outside.
No way, Voss said. You said something about an introduction, if I recall.
He faded back into the shadows near the door, gesturing Ventress to move to the other side of the holotable. She pressed back into the corner, hiding most of her noticeable white face with one arm, in case for any reason Sidious turned around. The other gripped her lightsaber hilt. The Count seemed to want to protest, but at that moment, a hologram appeared. Dooku fell to his knees, his head bowed. Ventress had seen Darth Sidious before, but had never beheld his face, nor would she likely see it now. He wore the same heavy robes and dark cowl that he always had, concealing his features even now, when he assumed he would only be talking to Dooku.
Darth Tyrannus,
intoned Count Dooku's master. Even though he wasn't physically present, the simple sound of his voice, rasping, papery somehow, like the rustling of ancient parchment, sent a shiver through Ventress.
This man was steeped in the dark side of the Force, saturated with it, in a way that she was certain Voss, perhaps even Dooku, had never been. She tightened her grip on her lightsaber.
Master,
Dooku replied, his voice laced with a tone Ventress had never heard in it. Subservience.
You seem to have disappeared for quite a while.
My apologies, my lord. I was briefly detained by Republic forces, but have managed to evade them.
The cloaked figure turned his head.
Who is there with you? In the shadows?
Voss stepped forward.
This is my new assassin,
Dooku replied, his poised demeanor slipping slightly.
Assassin.
The papery voice had dropped to a lower timbre, simmering with disapproval and warning.
You know my feelings about the kind of help you are wont to employ.
He'll be no trouble,
Dooku assured him quickly.
I'm sure he won't.
Darth Sidious's tone was a dangerous purr. Dooku quickly changed the subject.
Master, we are too exposed here on Christophsis. We must find a safe haven. Perhaps you could send a ship?
There was a pause. Then...
Perhaps.
Darth Sidious said. His hologram disappeared. Ventress exhaled slowly.
Your assassin?
Voss snapped. Dooku, once again haughty and contemptuous, replied,
What would you have me say? Your rival?
Before Voss could retort, there came a thundering crack, and the entire tower shivered.
What was that?
Dooku exclaimed, stumbling to his feet and lurching out the door. It opened onto shambles. The windows that enclosed three-fourths of the space had been blasted away, along with the consoles on that side. Incongruously beautiful chunks of crystal covered the floor. Tongues of flame licked upward, and the room was starting to fill with acrid smoke. Droids were firing futilely, and as Ventress watched, the Jedi shuttle came around for a second pass. Down! Voss shouted, and Ventress and Dooku obeyed, dropping to the floor. Ventress propped herself up on one elbow, deflecting debris with her other hand. The tower trembled again, and then lurched violently. Where are the stairs? Voss demanded, shaking Dooku.
This way.
Dooku got to his feet, then went through the door on the opposite side of the lift. Though not narrow, the carved, gleaming stairs were winding, and Ventress knew at once that running down them would take too long. Steeling herself for the pain her wounded leg would experience on impact, she force-leapt to a spot below. She bit back a cry, noting with satisfaction that Dooku was unable to stifle his. Again and again, the three leapt, following the spiral downward. Ventress only hoped they would make it to the ground before the Jedi brought the whole tower crumbling on top of them.
This is wrong. The still, small voice would not let Obi-Wan be. It kept brushing his thoughts, gentle but persistent. Which part? He wondered. Killing all three of them, even Ventress, who tried to help? Executing Voss without a trial? Sending Voss to assassinate Dooku?
Above, the shuttle and the ARC-170s Kenobi had ordered for reinforcement continued their aerial attack while dozens of troops had joined him and Anakin on the ground.
Fire!
Anakin shouted. The clones obeyed, launching a slew of grenades at the droids clustered at the base of the tower. The attack dropped most of the battle droids, and the cannons blasted a huge hole in the magnificent chunk of crystal. Orange flames sent black smoke spiraling into the incongruously blue cloud-dotted sky.
We need more firepower!
Anakin shouted.
Send in the walkers! This is wrong.
Abruptly, Obi-Wan was unable to withstand the mild prodding.
Anakin, he called, we need to back off. They won't survive this if we keep firing.
Anakin gave him a look of surprise.
You heard what Master Windu said.
kill anyone who gets in our way.
I know what he said, Kenobi replied. But I think if it's a possibility, we should still try to get them out of here unharmed. I'm telling you to pull back!
Anakin's golden brows drew together in a frown.
I'm not going against Master Windu's orders. Especially not for Dooku, a traitor and a...
His words were drowned out by the roar of the walkers, all firing simultaneously at a single spot on the tower. A deafening crack rose above even the cacophony of the tanks. As cleanly as if it had been snapped in two by an unseen giant, the tower broke. The top portion, a good two-thirds of the obelisk, toppled slowly but inevitably. The firing continued, this time at the exposed interior. Smoke plumed upward, joined by sparkling crystal powder, and smaller fires began breaking out.
We've got to find them!
Kenobi shouted, coughing from the dust that made his throat as dry as Tatooine.
They're still inside!
Chapter 40
Ventress came to in darkness. Something heavy was pressing down on her, and her eyelids were sealed shut with a sticky substance. She tried to lift a hand to wipe off whatever was covering them, but pain shot through her at the movement, and she almost lost consciousness a second time. The last thing she remembered was being in mid-jump. A sound like nothing she had ever heard had thundered in her ears. And then, the tower. It had shattered.
Voss, was he...
Ventress! Despite the physical agony, relief washed through Ventress. He was still alive. Maybe the tower had taken Dooku with it to both their demises.
Ventress!
She tried to call out to him, but her torso was squeezed so tightly she could barely breathe.
Voss...
she whispered.
We've got to get out of here.
Dooku's voice, ragged but imperious as always.
They'll storm through here in a matter of minutes. Leave her!
Ventress couldn't see Voss's reaction, but she heard a sharp growl of anger. She found herself smiling. Even when he could reasonably expect her to be dead or beyond help, even when his own life was at risk, Voss would not abandon her.
Ventress!
He was closer now,
and she tried again. A groan escaped her lips, faint but sufficient.
She heard grating sounds above her, and forced her eyes open, tearing off some lashes in the process.
Light, a whirl with dust, met her gaze. And then, the beloved face.
He'd suffered a head injury, and a trickle of scarlet contrasted vividly with both his dark skin and his bright yellow tattoo. Ventress didn't know yet the extent of her injuries, but by his expression, she knew they were serious. He knelt beside her.
Put your arms around my neck, he said. She tried to do so, but she suspected that one arm was broken. The other was heavy, so heavy.
Ventress made a sound of frustration, and he soothed her.
That's all right. I've got you. I've got you. Come on. We're gonna get out of here to someplace safe.
He slid his arm around her shoulders, and she bit back a cry. Dooku was glaring at them. Doubtless he wished he'd put his lightsaber through both of them at an earlier opportunity. He too had been injured in the collapse of the tower. The crystal chunk that had sliced along his chest must have had an edge as sharp as a finely honed blade. Blood oozed out from a tear in both fabric and skin. A too familiar sound caught their attention, that of booted feet running toward them.
Jedi and their clones,
growled Dooku. Voss tossed the Count his lightsaber.
You'll need it,
he said, slipping his other arm beneath Ventress's knees.
This'll hurt, he said to her, and I'm sorry.
A scream tore from her throat. The pain increased when Voss broke into a jog,
bearing her out of the ruined building and following Dooku toward a large crystal boulder, a camouflaged outlying building. Ventress felt a flicker of hope that they would be able to buy enough time for Sidious's ship to reach them.
If Sidious, whoever he was indeed sending a ship. If they all survived their injuries. If...
Droids clattered dutifully behind them, some of them stopping to fire on the approaching clones. Ventress could see red and blue blaster fire streaking through the air, and the occasional flash of green and light blue that denoted the Jedi's lightsabers. It all became a blur when she closed her eyes. Voss flung himself to the right, sending pain through Ventress's whole body. Her eyes snapped open to see blue fire missing her by a few centimeters. And then they were inside the building. Another blaster bolt, and this time, it hit. Dooku had just made it to the threshold when he suddenly arched in pain and collapsed. Voss placed Ventress down as quickly as he could and hauled Dooku's limp form inside with one hand, fending off the blaster bolts with his lightsaber. The doors closed, but Ventress could still hear the sound of the continued onslaught. Outside, the droid strove to protect them. The crystal this time was not part of the building, but merely a second protective layer. The inside looked like someone had gone to great effort to design either the ultimate prison or the ultimate refuge. Ventress chuckled weakly as she stared at Dooku's body.
It's taken a few tries, she murmured. But finally, someone got him.
Voss knelt beside Dooku, pressing a finger to his throat.
No, he's still alive, just unconscious, he said.
Ventress closed her eyes, scowling.
Damn.
Voss inspected the wound, then rolled Dooku's limp form over.
There's nothing we can do now about the blaster burn, but this injury from the crash is reopened.
Gently, Voss picked Ventress up and laid her down beside the unconscious Dooku. He took her good arm and placed it on Dooku's injury.
Keep pressure on it, he said.
Ventress snatched her hand away, not caring that the sudden gesture sent waves of pain through her.
No!
She snapped.
Let him bleed. This is what we want. This is what we need. He must die.
Voss shook his head.
No! I need him alive. Keep the pressure steady.
He pressed his lips together.
This place is pretty impregnable. The only weakness is that door. I'm going to go help the droids even the odds. Buy us time for the rescue ship to get here.
But...
He kissed her, hard, then raced out to the front of the building. Both worried and angry, Ventress watched him go, then heard the sounds of blaster fire and the hum of his lightsaber.
Why are you so desperate to save me?
Dooku's voice was weak, but as always, the sound of it angered her. She turned back to her former master.
Awake now, are you? Actually, I'd rather watch you rot.
He smirked.
I doubt that will be happening anytime soon. Voss is a Dark Lord, as I am, and he knows better than to turn against his kind.
Ventress stiffened.
A Dark Lord,
she said, then thought. Could Obi-Wan have been right?
Oh, yes,
Dooku said casually.
He's sworn allegiance to the dark side. He and I will take down Lord Sidious once and for all, and rule the galaxy together.
He added.
Hopefully... You'll have been disposed of by then.
Ventress narrowed her eyes and put an unnecessary amount of pressure on his wound. He gasped most satisfactorily.
I've heard that line before. Didn't we once have similar plans?
Through gritted teeth, Dooku said,
No, no. You must have been mistaken. You were never cut out for anything more than grunt work. Voss is different. He was born for the darkness. You
He smiled cruelly.
You just flirt with it.
Ventress felt doubt creeping into her heart and stole another look at the door. Voss had said he needed Dooku alive, that he had bigger plans. Was this really what he meant? Dooku pressed his advantage.
If Voss was going to kill me, why does he protect me? Why wait so long? He's had so many chances.
Ventress narrowed her eyes. This was what Dooku did. It was how he controlled people. He planted doubts in soil he found fertile, and the darkness took root from those doubts. Snarling, she arched up and put all her weight into the wound.
You have no idea what he's planning.
Again, Dooku winced, but managed...
Apparently, neither do you.
The truth of that bit deep. I think they've got Dooku, Anakin said, looking through a pair of electrobinoculars. And I don't see Ventress, but Voss and the droids are more than holding their own. He passed the electrobinoculars to Obi-Wan, who unfortunately agreed with him.
This isn't working, Kenobi said with a sigh. We're able to damage the concealing crystal outer layer, but the one inside is built like a vault. It was likely designed for precisely this purpose. Anakin gave an unhappy grunt.
I bet Dooku's arranged for someone to get him. If they can fend us off long enough, we might soon find ourselves outnumbered. There's got to be another way.
Kenobi tugged at his beard, thinking. There seemed to be only one point of weakness, the single entrance. But really, did any well-designed building not have more than one entrance?
I'll cease fire, he said.
Anakin stared at him as if he'd suggested they invite Dooku to a party, with tea and flowers.
A ceasefire?
You heard me.
Anakin shook his head.
No, we are not talking it out with them. The time for discussion is over. Voss has had all of the chances he's ever going to.
Kenobi held up a placating hand.
I didn't say anything about talking.
Anakin narrowed his eyes, but his posture eased.
So what do you propose?
You will declare a ceasefire, and then you and I will sneak around to the back and try to find another way in.
Sneak around the back? Anakin said, skeptical.
You're repeating me an awful lot today.
That's because I'm wondering if you're going crazy. Master, this place is a fortress.
And what does a fortress become with only one way in and one way out? Kenobi asked.
A slow grin spread over Anakin's face.
A trap, he said.
Chapter 41.
Voss looked pale but determined when he returned. The blood was drying on his face.
I think they've stopped. For now.
Ventress was still in a great deal of pain, but she was accustomed to controlling it. Now she willed herself to get to her feet and limp over to Voss. Concerned, he met her halfway.
Ventress, you should
come with me, she said.
He followed her, supporting her, to another room in the shelter. Various supply crates lined the walls, but she had no interest in them. She turned and faced Voss.
Is it true?
Is what true?
He looked genuinely confused.
That you've joined Dooku. That you've sworn your allegiance to the dark side.
Despite her effort to speak quietly, her voice rose. Voss closed his eyes and held up a hand.
Ventress, this isn't the time.
Oh, yes, this damn well is the time. This is the only time. We all may be dead in 10 minutes, and after all we've done, all we've been through together, all I thought we meant, you're going to tell me the truth. You owe me that much.
Voss looked away. Cold fear clenched at Ventress's heart. Finally, he spoke.
I did it for us.
For a moment, she couldn't speak.
For us?
She finally managed. He nodded. She shook her head, stunned.
Voss, you know what he is. He will destroy you the first chance he gets.
I can handle him. I know what I'm doing. Asajj, I said we're doing it for us. And I mean that.
He took her good hand in his.
You've told me your existence has been nothing but pain and loss. Never feeling secure. Never having a home. You deserve so much. And I can get it for us. The life we will be able to have together once...
What kind of life will that be, Quinlan?
Her voice broke.
The kind where we're slaves to our hatred. Our rage. That's what the dark side made me. That's what it does. Nothing is ever enough. You get more and more, but you're never happy. It's a trap. Baited with all the things you want most. That life, it's not worth living.
She squeezed his hand, imploring.
I already left that behind. You can too. You have a choice.
All at once, warmth flooded through her. It was as if she were being bathed with soft light. It washed away the pain and the fear and the anger, leaving only perfect clarity in its wake. Ventress realized that it was the Force, but it had never felt like this, and it was giving her a gift. Time slowed to a crawl as a sudden calm sense of knowing permeated her. She saw all at once every possible outcome of the turn of this fraction of a second. Every convolution, every manifestation, every repercussion that would echo far into the future. Death and life and new paths lay down one path. The restoration of balance. Fear and disaster. An existence that could never be called living, but merely crawling about in a shell of flesh that had no spark of joy. That too could be the future. Burning vengeance that only increased the hunger for more. She had just told Voss that he had a choice about what path he wished to walk. And the Force was revealing to her the outcome of her own choices. Now, this moment, this instant, this breath, Ventress chose. Voss saw Ventress's eyes open wide. Her body went taut, and she seemed to be staring at something he couldn't see. Fear exploded in him, quivering in the pit of his belly. And he shook her gently.
Asajj?
No.
She whispered, her eyes still unfocused, frighteningly blank. Then...
No!
Violently, she shoved Voss away, putting the Force into the movement so powerfully that he was hurled across the room. As he struck the wall, he heard a terrifyingly familiar sound. The sizzle and crackle of Force lightning... Dooku stood, his teeth bared in a savage snarl of victory. Ventress was caught in the most violent bolts of Force lightning Voss had ever seen. They danced and crackled about her, hungrily, almost like living creatures. Her body spasmed, and her face contorted into a mask of absolute agony. Blood trickled from her ears, eyes, and nose. Asajj! Voss cried, leaping between Ventress and Dooku. He activated his lightsaber, deflecting the Force lightning back onto Dooku. The Count's eyes widened in comprehension, a split second before his own weapon turned on him, disloyal as things of the dark always were. Dooku was flung back and lay on the ground, screaming and trembling, and lying still as the bolts faded.
Ventress lay unmoving on the floor. Her clothes and her body itself emitted wisps of smoke. No, Voss moaned. She was breathing, but her pulse was thready, and she was still, so terribly still. Asajj! No. No.
Fury, as intense and primal as the bolts that had nearly killed her, shuddered through him, and the world went red. Voss threw back his head and voiced his rage, whirling on the Count as he lay, shivering and gasping for breath on the stone floor. Three strides brought Voss to Count Dooku. He pressed the humming blade close to Dooku's neck.
"Do it,"
rasped Dooku. Impossibly, he was smiling.
"The lightning wasn't for her. It was for you. She just got in the way. Go on. Take your revenge."
Voss's heart shook his body with its pounding, its aching, its demands. His gaze flickered to Ventress, lying so terrifyingly motionless. His vision blurred. It took him a moment to realize that tears were falling down his face in a river of pain. The dark, rage-filled tide inside him receded, leaving in his heart only the truth of the tears. The Count still smiled, still anticipated the final step that would turn Voss irrevocably to the dark side. "I am not your kind," Voss said, his voice thick. "I do not feed off vengeance." Truth was quiet. It did not need to shout or to demand. It simply existed. "I am a Jedi." Voss deactivated his lightsaber. Ventress was still alive, and hope, cruel and beautiful and agonizing, flared in his chest as he rushed to her.
"Voss!"
He didn't turn around at the sound of Kenobi's voice. Somehow, he was unsurprised that Obi-Wan was here at this moment.
"We'll take him from here."
Voss simply nodded. He might still be executed. He would certainly be taken back to the Council in chains. But none of that mattered. Everything that mattered was here, right before him. He felt raw in this moment, cracked open and laid bare. His senses were heightened, and he was almost painfully aware of everything. The smell of blood and scorched flesh, the steady slip of tears down his angular cheekbones, and their salty taste, the coppery tang of blood and fear in his mouth. He saw that strange patterns now decorated Ventress's bone-white skin, traces of darker flesh that looked like lightning bolts. The Force lightning had marked her for its own. Ventress's breathing grew labored. He wanted to hold her, to keep her alive through the sheer force of his will. But he was afraid touching her would cause her more pain. Her beautiful, ice-blue eyes opened, and she smiled. He tried to return her smile and failed miserably.
"Hey, handsome,"
Ventress murmured. Voss gave a shaky laugh through the tears. "Hey yourself."
"I won't break, you know."
No, she would never break. Not Asajj Ventress. At the invitation, Voss gathered her as gently as possible in his arms. The movement caused her to cough violently.
"I'm..."
Blood ran from her mouth, soaking his shirt. He bit back a sob. "Don't try to speak." Ventress gave him a look that was so completely her, it tore him apart.
"You don't tell me what to do, idiot."
A small smile surprised him.
"Never could,"
he admitted.
"Damn right."
Another bout of coughing racked her thin frame, and for a devastating, heart-scalding second,
Voss thought this would take her. But she continued.
I'm proud of you for what you did over there. You chose loving me instead of hating him.
Her bloody frothed lips curved in a smile.
Best choice you've ever made.
Voss wept unashamedly, cradling her, stroking her face. He wanted to memorize its every curve, sear it into his memory, and realized that he had already done so.
It was, he agreed. He swallowed hard. Asajj, you were right. I did fall to the dark side, and I've been there this whole time. I didn't know.
You lied to yourself,
Ventress whispered.
That's why I couldn't tell.
I love you, and I never stopped, not for a moment.
Here at the end, Voss had to make sure she...
I know,
Ventress said.
But you did stop lying.
She shuddered deeply. Voss felt his heart crack.
Her fingers dug into his arm tightly, and her gaze bored into his.
Remember, you always have a choice to be better. You always have a choice to pick the right path.
She smiled sadly.
Even if that choice comes a little late.
No, it couldn't be too late. Voss still had to tell her everything he'd felt. How his heart had jumped the first time she had touched him tenderly, caring for his injury on the Banshee. That seemed like a lifetime ago. When she'd asked him how she looked in the ball gown, he should have told her.
And when they had first kissed, Asajj Ventress had changed everything in his world. Was still changing it, right this minute. But there was too much to say, and not enough time to say it, and the words crowded his throat and choked him into silence.
With an effort, Ventress reached to touch his face, tracing the yellow tattoo lingering over his lips. When she spoke, her voice was so faint that he had to strain to hear it.
And always remember that I loved you with all of my heart.
He had known it, but he had never before heard it from her lips. Now he found he could speak the simplest of words.
I will.
Ventress took a shuddering breath. The tension left her body, and she relaxed into his embrace as her eyes began to close.
No, Asajj,
Voss begged.
Asajj, please don't go.
Her eyes flickered open, and a corner of her mouth turned up.
I have to, Quinlan. It's my time now. My sisters are waiting.
Fear such as he had never known seized Voss, and he tightened his arms around her, as if by holding on he could somehow prevent death from taking her. Please, please don't.
You must let me go, my love,
Ventress said, her voice so gentle, so tender, and she smiled lovingly.
It's the Jedi way.
And she was gone.
Chapter 42.
It had been a long, excruciating few months. Voss had held Ventress in his arms afterward.
How long, he did not know.
But at some point, he heard blaster fire, and Obi-Wan Kenobi crying his name, calling for help. Voss had gone, and the three Jedi fought together as, yet again, Dooku eluded capture. Darth Sidious, whose identity Voss had sacrificed so much to learn, had apparently decided to aid his apprentice after all. Voss didn't remember the trip back to Coruscant.
He suspected he had gone a little mad. Anakin had placed him in the ship's brig. Voss had gone willingly, but when he realized he would be separated from Ventress's body, he had demanded to be with her. Kenobi had assured him Ventress was in stasis and would be cared for with respect. Somehow, at some point, Voss had slept.
As he had known would happen, he was brought before the Jedi Council, and there, exhausted and soul-sick, confessed every one of his crimes. He told them that he had fallen, but had denied that truth even to himself. His intention had been to use Dooku to get to Darth Sidious, and thus eliminate both Sith Lords once and for all. He accepted full responsibility for the campaign he had led under Dooku's guidance, for planting the bombs in the asteroid, for warning the Count about the attack on the listening post, for killing Beyonds and the clones aboard the Vigilance, for the murder of his friend, Akar Deshu. Voss spoke until his voice was hoarse. He had been calm for most of the interrogation, but when they asked him about Asajj Ventress, he shattered.
"She saved me,"
he wept.
"She saved me."
They pressed him for more details, but Voss found himself unable to say anything other than those three words. Then, to his surprise, Obi-Wan Kenobi had stepped forward to speak. Not just for Voss, but for the woman who had once been numbered among the Jedi's greatest enemies. As it turned out, he and Anakin had borne witness to all that had transpired during Ventress's final moments.
Asajj Ventress moved Voss out of harm's way, taking the full brunt of Dooku's Force Lightning upon herself, Kenobi said. She sacrificed her life to save him.
That is commendable, Mace Windu had said. For her to give up her life for another speaks well of her.
But Kenobi was shaking his auburn head. An odd, unspeakably kind smile was on his face.
You misunderstand, Master Windu. All of you. She didn't just save his life. She saved Quinlan. And I believe she may have saved us.
Yoda had silenced the questions and protests and instructed Kenobi to speak what was in his heart.
We lost our way, Kenobi had said. We lost it when we decided to use assassination, a practice so clearly of the dark side for our own ends.
Well-intentioned though it might have been, all that has happened since, Voss succumbing to the dark side, the deaths he has directly and indirectly caused, the secrets leaked, the worlds placed in jeopardy, all of this can be traced back to that single decision.
Masters, I submit to you that Voss's fall was of our making, and Asajj Ventress's death is on all our hands. That Voss is here with us today, devastated but on the light path once more, is no credit to us, but to her.
She died a true friend of the Jedi, and I believe that she deserves to be laid to rest with respect and care, with all gratitude for the life she gave and the life she has restored to us. And this bitter lesson that came at so dear a price.
We are Jedi, and we must, all of us, always remember what that means.
Voss knew he could never repay Kenobi for that, but he had the rest of his life to try. He worked closely with Yoda for a time, doing all that was required of him. Slowly but steadily, he began to regain trust. It would never right the terrible wrongs he had done, but Voss was moving into a position to at least begin to atone. Finally, Yoda agreed to release him into Kenobi's care, to take Asajj Ventress on one final journey. So it was that Voss and Obi-Wan had come to Dathomir. On a hoverlift between them floated Ventress's coffin. Voss walked with one hand resting atop it. He noticed his friend's reaction to the skeletons strewn about as the two Jedi made their solemn way toward the fortress.
Dooku slew them all because they had sided with Ventress, Voss told Kenobi. And still, she was able to let go of revenge.
Kenobi said nothing, but Voss noticed that he, too, placed his hand atop the coffin. As they approached the open mouth of the fortress, Kenobi said, "Are you absolutely certain about this, Quinlan? The dark side is very strong within."
"It is," Voss agreed. "But for this moment, the dark side is not our enemy. Can't you sense it?"
He watched as Kenobi took a deep breath, reaching out into the Force. His eyebrows rose as he experienced what Voss could feel. Puzzlement flitted across his bearded face, and he looked at Voss curiously. "Why not?"
"Here, the dark side belongs to the Night Sisters, and we are returning one of their own. I don't know how I know it, but I do."
"I believe you," Kenobi said simply. Voss felt a rush of gratitude. They stepped into the cool shadows, walking between pillars carved with the likenesses of strong women. Voss remembered what he had felt the first time he had entered. He had been chasing Ventress with anger in his heart. Now, there was only sorrow, an aching sense of loss that he knew would diminish over time, but never completely leave him. And he didn't want it to. Strange as it was, he understood there was grace and strength in this pain, a reminder of what should never be forgotten.
"I never expected to find beauty on Dathomir," Kenobi admitted, as they stepped fully into the cavern that had housed the village of Ventress's kin.
"She was beautiful," Voss said quietly.
They walked to a fissure in the flat stone that contained a dark, still pool. Unlike the luminous blue pools that provided much of the cavern's illumination, the pools that had once housed the ancient sleeper, the water of this one, if water it truly was utterly black. No breath of wind or movement of creature disturbed its mirror-like surface. Different levels carved into the stone served as steps. Voss placed both hands on the coffin. Now that it had come time to let her go, he realized that it would take everything in him to do so.
"I can give you some privacy, if you'd like," Kenobi offered.
"Thanks. I think I'd like to be alone with her for a little bit."
Kenobi shifted uncomfortably. "I will have to keep you
in sight, I know," Voss said. "And I understand why. It's all right."
He wasn't angry. Leaving him alone in a place steeped in the dark side was not something Kenobi or the Council could permit. Not yet. One day, perhaps. Kenobi nodded and gave a sad smile before striding a few meters away.
Voss turned again to the coffin. Then, steeling himself, he opened it.
Ventress had been put into stasis shortly after her death and been prepared respectfully at the temple. Voss knew that Kenobi had recovered some of Ventress's clothing from the wreckage of the Banshee, but he was completely unprepared for what greeted him when he opened the lid. Asajj Ventress's face was tranquil. Her hair had been washed and combed. Her arms, their injuries repaired, had been folded over her midsection. They still bore the dark tracings of the Force lightning that had claimed her life, but the marks were oddly beautiful, spidery and graceful. Her body was clothed in the elegant black evening gown she had worn on that night when he...
"I'm so sorry,"
Voss said, knowing how inadequate the words were, but needing to say them anyway.
"I'd give anything to go back. If I could, I'd..."
A rueful, bitter chuckle escaped his lips.
"Where do I begin? There's so much I should have told you. So much I should have..."
His throat closed abruptly, and his words drifted into the deep silence of the cavern.
"And now, it's too late, and I will never stop grieving that. But I'm on the path, Asajj. You bought my chance with blood. And I won't waste it. I swear I won't. Every day, every minute of my life,
I'll live it. For me and for you. I'll fight because you can't. And I'll laugh. And I'll do everything I possibly can with everything I have in me to make things better. Because this galaxy has seen too much of darkness. Voss gently stroked her cheek. Rest now, my love. I brought you to Dathomir. Your sisters don't have to wait any longer. You told me you were reborn here, in this pool. I hope it's all right for me to return you to its waters.
He took a shaky breath. He had thought he would dread this moment, but he was surprised to feel more a sense of quiet peace than pain. This was the right thing to do, and he knew it, bone deep. Slowly, reverently, he lifted his arms as if he were holding Ventress in them. Her body rose into the air in response. Voss bore her in the Force to the still, dark pool and gently lowered her. Slowly, the black water closed over her, accepting her into its embrace. Her face was the last of her to disappear. Pale and bearing an expression of serenity she had never known in life. He blinked. Was the water changing color? Tendrils of mist began to rise, green and glowing. Green, like the Dathomiri magics Ventress had spoken of. Green, like the water of life. Voss caught his breath. Soft susurrations reached his ears, sounding almost like...
Kenobi was beside him immediately, his lightsaber unlit but in his hand. Voss, what's happening? Slowly, incredulously, Voss understood. His heart ached with a bittersweet joy.
Listen, was all he said. Kenobi's eyes widened. He heard it too now. The whispers of women's voices.
The Force had reclaimed Dathomir's wayward child. And as Voss reached out in it to send the woman he loved a final farewell, he thought he could make out a single word.
Sister.
Asajj Ventress, at last, had come home.
A note from Katie Lucas, writer for the animated series The Clone Wars. Star Wars has always loomed large in my life. I simply don't remember a time without it. We began filming the prequels when I was 8 years old and wrapped when I was 15. I spent a few adolescent summers as a PA on the sets of the prequels, watching and learning. I remember my baby brother training for days with Nick Gillard to execute an elaborate stunt as a fearless young Padawan. When he shot his scene, most of the actors came to the set to cheer him on. Hayden and Nick were so proud of him. The cast and the crew became an extended family of sorts. That was what Star Wars was built on. The collaboration and support of an entire community of passionate, talented people. When I was 17, I was honored to have the opportunity to join that very community when I wrote my first ever episode of Clone Wars, Jedi Crash. The positive response of the fans drove me to consider pursuing screenwriting in a more serious way. My run as a writer on Clone Wars ended up lasting almost 10 years. During that time, I had the pleasure of writing for some of the show's most exciting, not to mention most morally bankrupt characters, Aurra Sing, Savage Opress, Darth Maul, and of course, my favorite, Asajj Ventress. I've always been drawn to resilient female characters, having grown up obsessively watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And Ventress was the punk warrior witch of my dreams. Her strength and vulnerability resonated profoundly with me. I was thrilled to be assigned the Dark Disciple episodes and had a hell of a time writing them. I was in the throes of a bad breakup, and writing for Ventress and Voss was incredibly cathartic for me. I was sad to see that Clone Wars was canceled before the episodes could air,
but feel relieved that Ventress will finally be given her due with the publishing of this novel. At its core, Dark Disciple is a story of redemption. A story of how people can be unbelievably broken and yet find a way to rebuild despite the odds. All of us are given chances time and time again to transform our lives. And it is our responsibility to seize those opportunities before they disappear. Working with the incredible writers of Clone Wars and the incomparable Dave Filoni will always be one of the highlights of my career. Clone Wars gave me the tools to move forward on my own path, and most important, gifted me with the chance to serve the Star Wars universe for a brief time. For as long as I live, I will never forget the times when my dad and I would sneak into the back of a darkened movie theater just as John Williams' unforgettable theme trumpeted from the speakers, holding hands while the crowd roared, raising their lightsabers into the air as the Star Wars logo flashed across the screen. I've never seen my dad happier. May the Force always be with you. Katie Lucas. This is Mark Thompson. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, Dark Disciple, by Christy Golden. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Aaron Blank. Star Wars, Dark Disciple is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.